This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
The days, weeks, months and years pass by in the life of many people. And in the case of the overwhelming majority from humanity, the main concerns and worries that they have in their lives are concerns and worries pertaining to themselves. Our career prospects, our savings and finances, our health and well-being, my future, my children, my dunya, and even my akhirah. However, as for those whose concerns extend beyond themselves, looking to assist people in the affairs of their dunya and more importantly their akhirah, their afterlife, these are a minority. And as one selfish poet of the past would say, إِذَا مِتُّ ظَمْآنًا فَلَا نَزَلَ الْقَطْرُ. If I die thirsty, then may the rain never come back down again. If I die thirsty, then may the rain never come back down again. In other words, let everybody else suffer as well. There is a category amongst people whose presence is exactly the same as their absence. And those people, whether they are dead or alive, the net influence and effect that they have on others is still zero. And in fact, as Muslims, we know when we have cases of people who are dead, 6 feet under, wedged in the soil, until this day they are benefiting those who are alive. And there are those who are alive, and they are causing not only no benefit to people, but in fact they may be bringing harm. And with this, dear brothers and sisters, we have understood and discovered what the theme of the khutbah today is. It is the service, being at the service of other people and other creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, as Imam al-Tabarani narrates in his Mujam, on the authority of the companion Abdullah ibn Umar, in one of the most remarkable narrations that you will read in this regard, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَحَبُّ النَّاسِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَنْفَعُهُمْ وَأَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ سُرُورٌ تُدْخِلُهُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ مُسْلِمٍ أَوْ تَكْشِفَ عَنْهُ فَقْرًا أَوْ تَطْرُدَ عَنْهُ جُوعًا أَوْ تَقْضِيَ عَنْهُ دَيْنًا وَلَا أَنْ أَمْشِي مَعَ أَخِي الْمُسْلِمِ فِي حَاجَتِهِ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ أَنْ أَعْتَكِفَ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ شَهْرًا وَمَنْ كَفَّ غَضَبَهُ سَتَرَ اللَّهُ عَوْرَتَهُ وَمَنْ كَظَمَ غَيْظًا وَإِنْ شَاءَ أَنْ يُمْضِيَهُ أَمْضَاهُ مَلَأَ اللَّهُ قَلْبَهُ رِضًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَا أَنْ أَمْشِي وَمَنْ مَشَى مَعَ أَخِيهِ الْمُسْلِمِ فِي حَاجَةٍ لَهُ حَتَّى يُثْبِتَهَا لَهُ أَثْبَتَ اللَّهُ قَدَمَهُ يَوْمَ تَزِلُّ الْأَقْدَامُ وَإِنَّ سُوءَ الْخُلُقِ لَيُفْسِدُ الْعَمَلَ كَمَا يُفْسِدُ الْخَلُّ الْعَسَلَ. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that the most beloved of people to Allah Almighty are those who serve others the most. And the greatest acts of worship in the eyes of Allah is when you bring happiness to the heart of another Muslim, or you remove poverty from him, or you pay a debt on his behalf, or you give him food after he was hungry. And then he sallallahu alayhi wasallam would say in the same narration, for me to walk with my brother who is in need till that need is fulfilled is dearer to me than staying in the masjid in worship for an entire month. And then he said, whoever suppresses his anger, Allah will cover his faults. And whoever keeps in his rage whilst able to act upon it, Allah will fill his heart with happiness on the day of judgment. Then he said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in the same narration, and whoever walks with his brother in need, look, it's the same meaning, whoever walks with his brother in need till he fulfills what he needs, Allah Almighty will establish his feet firm on a day when the feet of humanity will be slipping. And then he concluded and said that bad manners ruins good deeds the same way that vinegar ruins honey. This was whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, a man who was nurturing within the heart of his companions a burning sensation to always be at the service of other people, not waiting for them to knock at your door saying, please help me, but knocking at the doors of others saying, how can I help you? This was the type of generation he wanted to raise, men and women who wanted to be at the service of humanity, knowing that they would be serving their own hereafter by doing so. And for this reason, Imam al-Nasa'i would narrate in his Sunan on the authority of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّهُ لَيَأْتِينِي الرَّجُلِ فِي مَسْأَلَةٍ فَأَمْنَعُهُ إِيَّاهَا حَتَّى تَشْفَعُ فِيهِ وَتُؤْجَرُ. He would say, at times people come to me requesting a favor, help with a certain matter. I withhold, I do not helping, hoping that one of you, O my companions, will intercede for him, and thus Allah Almighty would reward you. He's raising his companions, nurturing them, wanting to instill within them a desire, a burning desire, to be at the assistance of those who are around him. In fact, even before Allah Almighty gave him revelation, this was the man whom he was, alayhi salatu wasalam, a man for the people. As Imam al-Bukhari writes in his Sahih on the authority of Abi Hurairah, in the narration that all of you have come across before, following his very first encounter with revelation, and he was gripped with terror, with horror, with fear. And he came running home back to his dear wife Khadija radiallahu anha, having feared for his life. And then when he calmed down and he told her what had happened, خَشِيتُ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِيَ Khadija, I feared for my life, O Khadija, what did she say? What were the characteristics that she identified in him, which she would use as an evidence that Allah Almighty would never disgrace him? What were the traits? She said to him, كَلَّا وَاللَّهِ لَا يُخْزِيكَ اللَّهُ أَبَدًا إِنَّكَ لَتَصِلُ الرَّحِمِ وَتَحْمِلُ الْكَلْبِ وَتَكْسِبُ الْمَعْدُومِ وَتُقْرِ الضَّيْفِ وَتُعَيْنُ عَلَىٰ نَوَائِبِ الْحَقِّ. She said, no, never, Allah would never disgrace you. Why? Allah would never disgrace you, she said to her husband. Why? She said, because you take care of your family ties. And you take care of the poor and the destitute. And you honor your guest. And you help those deserving people who are ridden with calamities. That is you. Subhanallah. She did not say to him, you are a man of ibadah. She did not say to him, you are a man who is godly and you worship Allah. And he did used to worship Allah even before revelation. يَتَحَنَّثْ فِي الْغَارِ. But she didn't identify those traits. She's saying to him, Allah will support you. He will aid you. He will assist you. He will provide for you, take care of you in this world and the one to come, because you are good with the people. But there is something more remarkable than this. When Abu Bakr, the chief student of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was leaving the city of Mecca, trying to find another plot of land to worship Allah, persecution was reaching too much. He was leaving. And then a man saw him. As Imam al-Bukhari narrates on the authority of Aisha, this man was called Zayd ibn al-Daghinnah. What did he say to Abu Bakr? Listen to these words and ask yourself, do they ring a bell? He said to him, مِثْلُكَ يَا أَبَا بَكْرٍ لَا يَخْرُجْ وَلَا يُخْرَجْ. Abu Bakr, where are you going? He said, I am leaving, looking for a land where I can worship Allah without being persecuted. Zayd said to Abu Bakr, no. Abu Bakr, a man like you mustn't leave, nor must anybody exile him. Why? He said to him, because إِنَّكَ لَتَصِلُ الرَّحِمِ وَتَحْمِلُ الْكَلْبِ وَتَكْسِبُ الْمَعْدُومِ وَتُقْرِ الضَّيْفِ وَتُعَيْنُ عَلَى نَوَائِبِ الْحَقِّ. He said, Abu Bakr, because you take care of your family ties, and you take care of the poor and the destitute, and you honor your guest, and you help the deserving people who are afflicted with calamities. La ilaha illallah. the same qualities that were identified in the Prophet ﷺ by Khadijah, his wife, were the same qualities that the pagans identified in Abu Bakr. What does this tell you about Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu? A blind, relentless imitator of the Sunnah. And what does this tell you about the companions? They were the assistants, the khuddam of the people. They considered it an act of ibadah, the same way salah and zakah and charity and qiyam and Quran are acts of ibadah. They didn't consider it anything less. And then you look down, you move down, the life of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the greatest of this ummah after the prophets and messengers and Abu Bakr, and he was the exact same embodiment of this value we speak of today. As Ibn Rajab narrates in his Jami' al-Ulumi wal-Hikam, that Umar was a man who used to visit the widowed women and provide for them water in the evenings. And then Talha ibn Ubaidillah became inquisitive. Why is he going to the house of these women? And so one day he sought permission from one of those particular women. He knocked on the door, she allowed him in, and he saw a blind, old, disabled woman sat in the corner of the room. He said to her, "Why does this man, Umar, come and visit you?" She said, "Well, he's been coming to visit us, oh my son, for such and such years, attending to my needs, bringing me the luggage, the equipment, the food that I require, and removing the waste as well from the house." Talha, he came out of this house saying to himself, regretfully saying for himself, "Thakilatka ummuka ya Talha, a'awratu Umar tattabih." May my mother lose me. What was I thinking? Am I trying to find faults in Umar? May my mother lose me, Talha said. Am I trying to find the faults of Umar? Servicemen, helpers, assistants of the people. And as for the son of Umar, Abdullah, as Abi Nu'aym written his Hilya, Mujahid ibn Jabr from the Tabi'in, second generation Muslims, says, "Sahibtu ibn Umar fi al-safari li-akhdumahu fakana yakhdumuni." He said, "I accompanied the companion Abdullah ibn Umar in a particular journey, wanting to serve him, wanting to be his servant." He says, "However, I was surprised to see him serving me." The companions serving a second generation Muslim, he says, he was serving me. As for Al-Hasan al-Basri, he would say, "For me to be at the service of my brother is more beloved to me than to do i'tikaf, to be in isolation in the masjid for 2 consecutive months. Imagine. What will you be doing in the masjid for 2 months? How many times will you finish reading the Quran? How much night prayer will you be engaging in? How many jama'ah, prayer in congregation, would you have partaken in? How many reminders would you have heard? How many bowing and prostrations? How much sadaqah would you have given?" He says, "For me to walk for a moment serving my Muslim brother in a need of his is more beloved to me than 2 months in ibadah in isolation in the masjid." As for Abi Uthman, the Shaykh of Imam al-Bukhari, he would say, "مَا سَأَلَنِي أَحَدٌ حَاجَ إِلَّا قُمْتُ لَهُ بِنَفْسِي فَإِنْ تَمَّتْ وَإِلَّا اسْتَعَنْتُ لَهُ بِمَالِي فَإِنْ تَمَّتْ وَإِلَّا اسْتَعَنْتُ لَهُ بِإِخْوَانِي فَإِنْ تَمَّتْ وَإِلَّا اسْتَعَنْتُ لَهُ بِالسُّلْطَانِ." He says, "Nobody has ever asked me any favor except that I would stand up and try to assist him myself. If I fulfill it, alhamdulillah. If I fail, I use my money. If I fulfill it with my money, alhamdulillah. If I fail, I seek help with my friends. If we fulfill it, alhamdulillah. If we fail, we go to the authorities." This was their understanding of Islam. A precise understanding, a precise branch of fiqh, much of which has been lost today, to tell you the truth. Where Islam and ibadah and righteousness has been confined to zawahir, madahir, appearances, outward performances, celebrity appearances. But as for these aspects of ibadah in secrecy, wanting to serve others in private, wanting to be at their aid, lowering your wing of humility to people, this is a branch of ibadah that has been very much neglected. What can we do to rekindle that fire in our hearts? This is something we will look at in the second part of the khutbah, if Allah gives us life until then. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Thus it has become evident to us, dear brothers and sisters, that it is imperative for every Muslim, conscious Muslim, wakeful of his hereafter, to be very keen to join this bandwagon of assistants and helpers of other people because of their status in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the question that poses itself here is how? How do we do that? How do we ignite within our hearts a burning sensation like it existed in their hearts to serve other people and be at their aid? How can we do that? Bearing in mind the very challenging setting that many Muslims find themselves in because the polar opposite of this is being promoted. The global culture now, for the most part, is a culture of individualism, nafsi, 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 about myself. Facebook, FaceTime, MySpace, iPad, iPhone, iTunes, me, I, myself. This is the culture that is being bred for the most part. And we as Muslims will be affected. And with time, without us noticing, we may in fact become advocates of eye health, eye time, eye importance, eye well-being, eye is who matters. This, whether we express it explicitly or implicitly, this will become part of our akhlaq if we are not careful. So what can we do to break out of that? What can we do to refresh ourselves? To want to be at the service of those women who are the subjects of tyrannical relationships at home or other places? What can we do to want to offer loans for those Muslims and others who need Islamic loans? What can we do to offer experience and time and a helping hand and nasiha to those who need it? We don't feel like we want to. What can we do to revive it? I suggest several milestones for myself and for others. The first is the following. To always keep in mind the prizes and the offerings of Allah Almighty for he or she who makes himself or herself for the people, at their aid, at their service. Prizes, one of which is the assistance of Allah Almighty in your life. Had this been the only prize by Allah, it would be enough to put a full stop here in the khutbah. Thus Imam Muslim narrates in his Sahih on the authority of Abi Hurairah that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَاللَّهُ فِي عَوْنِ الْعَبْدِ مَا كَانَ الْعَبْدُ فِي عَوْنِ أَخِيهِ. Allah, Allah, the most powerful, the compeller, Allah, the most rich, the king, Allah will continue to be at the aid, the assistance of his servant so long as his slave is in the service of other people. I wish, dear brothers and sisters, that we would look to deal with the problems in our lives using this prophetic model that was laid down for us. To deal with our problems, whether it's a financial issue you're struggling with, whether it's the career prospects that worry you, whether it's an issue pertaining to your health, whether it's fear of something that's keeping you up at night, whether it's you being maligned and unjustly smeared by the media, or its likes. What is it that you worry about? This category of special Muslims, they deal with the problems in a different way. They have enough on their own plate to deal with. But what do? They start hunting down those people who need help to assist them, because they know that by doing so, Allah Almighty will get His divine self involved. And that is why Abdullah ibn Abbas, he would say, صَاحِبُ الْمَعْرُوفِ لَا يَقَعْ فَإِنْ وَقَعْ وَجَدَ مُتَّكَأً. He said, those people who do good to other people, they will not fall. Ya salam. He says, those people who are always helping others, they won't fall. He says, if they do fall, however, they will always find something to lean on. So what is it that you have that people need, ya akhi? Is it wealth? Is it experience? Is it time? Is it a helping hand? What do people need? Offer it. Spend from it. So that Allah Almighty may involve His Divine Self in your issues that you and I are suffering from on a personal level. And the opposite is just as true, however. A person who hides the goodness that Allah has given him from the needs of people, Allah will hide his goods from him. And thus the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, Man wallahu Allahu shay'an min amri al-muslimin fahtajaba duna hajatihim wa khallatihim wa faqrihim ihtajaba Allahu anhu duna hajatihi wa khallatihi wa faqrihi. Whoever is given any position of authority over Muslims, but then he hides himself from their needs and from their poverty, Allah Almighty will hide what he has from his need and his poverty, i.e. our need and our poverty. This is the first thing to bear in mind for us to be enthusiastic to help and serve others, to remember the givings of this particular act of ibadah. And the prizes that comes with it, Allah Almighty will assist you. What more can we want? The second is to bear in mind that a person who makes himself at the assistance of others, Allah Almighty will then preserve the goodness that He has given him. Health, money, status, well-being, energy, free time. What are the goods that Allah has given you? These are prone to disappearance. They are prone to being taken away from us. How do we hold on to them? By spending them in the path of those people who need them. And that is why the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would say, as Imam al-Tabarani writes in his margin, on the authority of Abdullah ibn Umar, Inna lillahi aqwaman. يَخْتَصُّهُمُ اللَّهُ بِالنِّعَمِ إِنَّ لِلَّهِ أَقْوَامًا يَخْتَصُّهُمُ اللَّهُ بِالنِّعَمِ لِمَنَافِعِ الْعِبَادِ وَيُقِرُّهُمْ فِيهَا مَا بَذَلُوهَا فَإِنْهُمْ مَنَعُوهَا نَزَعَهَا اللَّهُ مِنْهُ وَحُوِّلَتْ إِلَى غَيْرِهِمْ. He says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that there are certain people whom Allah Almighty gives them special benefits, special blessings over others, and He keeps it with them so long as they continue serving other people with it. However, the moment they decide to hide this goodness from others, Allah Almighty will take it away from them and He will give it to somebody else. What has Allah given you? Money, status, authority, contacts? Allah Almighty will keep these blessings with you so long as you are serving those who are in need. This is the second. The third thing that we can apply in our lives to rekindle this fire, this desire to help people, is the following. To bear in mind that those people who are at the assistance of others, they have in fact been chosen specially by Allah amidst the masses. They are different. Even if they don't look special, even if the cameras are not facing their direction, even if they don't have Nobel Prizes to their names and nobody's calling them out for an interview, they are special whether we like it or not, because they are at the service of other people. Thus the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would say, عند الله خزائن الخير والشر مفاتيحها الرجال. عند الله خزائن الخير والشر مفاتيحها الرجال فطوبى لمن جعله الله مفتاحا للخير مغلاقا للشر وويل لمن جعله الله مفتاحا للشر مغلاقا للخير. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah Almighty has the stores. He has the stores of good and evil, and the keys to these stores are people. And then he said, therefore, paradise is for he whom Allah makes him a key to goodness and a lock to evil, and woe to the one whom Allah Almighty makes him a key to evil and a lock to goodness. So they have been chosen to be keys of goodness. They are special. And the fourth and final thing that we can do to reignite the desire to always be serving others, even though we are busy with our own issues, is to bear in mind that those who are at the assistance of other people, Allah will give them safety on a day when the majority of people will be afraid. And that is why Abdullah ibn Abbas, the companion, he would say, Inna lillahi ta'ala khalqan khalaqahumullahu limanafi'il ibad. يفزع الناس إليهم في حوائجهم أولئك الآمنون من عذاب الله. He says that there are certain people from the creation of Allah Almighty whom Allah has created just for them to serve other people. MashaAllah. Allah has created them just to serve other people. People rush to them when they are in need. Ibn Abbas says they will be the safe ones from the punishment of Allah. Brothers and sisters, a concluding message. This khutbah today is certainly not confined and exclusive to those people who have money. This is just one avenue of assistance and service you might provide, you may provide to others. However, there are other aspects in life, and we have alluded to them several times already. It could be a good word that you put in for someone, help filling out an application form of some sort. It could be contacts that you have. It could be sympathy that you offer, time that you offer, a helping hand that you offer, experience, advice, any type of assistance, which at times is more beneficial than helping somebody with your money. And therefore, brother, dear sister, do not be angry when somebody comes knocking at your door looking for your helping hand. Because they only knocked at your door after identifying you as a person of noble characteristics. A person who resembles the prophets. They identified you as that person. Therefore, don't be upset. And realize that it could be that Allah Ta'ala is looking to raise your rank in Jannah to a position that you could never have otherwise attained if it wasn't for this person who is now knocking at your door. I ask Allah Almighty to allow us to be at the service of the Muslims and the non-Muslims, hoping that Allah Almighty will come to our aid at a time when we have never needed the aid of Allah like this particular time.